to Pro Wrestling Wednesday with Tony and Bo.
Tony Schiavone!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tony and Bo back with you on Pro Wrestling Wednesday on our debut show. Good to have you with us. We love to hear from you. We're going to be talking about WWE Raw coming up, but we do have a phone call we want to get to. And let's bring him up right now. David from Wichita, Kansas has called. David?
How you doing?
How are you, buddy? Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, Tony, when I mean a wrestling fan, I've watched wrestling. I'm 41 years old, and my first wrestling match I went to was in 1979 at a building called the Shrine Mosque Auditorium in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay, I know where that is.
And, oh, man, if those walls and floors could talk, buddy, you already know.
Yep.
But, you know, the one thing that I admire about you, Tony, is after the quote-unquote buyout, people, you know, going back to WWE and whatnot, of course, you didn't get, you know, called over for whatever reasons, and it, you know, for the quote-unquote call on TV.
Sure.
But I think, you know, with them allowing Medusa, you know, back into the family, into the fold, if you will.
Right.
You know, but you haven't, you've been one that's not been out here, hey, what about me, what about me, you know, podcast after podcast, shoot interview after shoot interview. That's one thing I've admired about you. You've kept your low-key and low-cool. Do you think, though, in the back of your mind, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you feel a little bit of ill will, maybe, that you haven't been brought back into the fold, that time, in your essence, hasn't healed that wound?
And thanks for the call, David. No, I don't feel ill will at all. And let me tell you why, because I've always been the type of person to move forward. I'm making a decent living. I'm living in a wonderful city. We've raised 5 children here in Atlanta, and I just have not looked back. And I'm not bitter at all. Unfortunately, it got out online, as we know, everything mm-hmm. true, it comes out on the internet. It got out online that I was bitter, but I'm not at all. And so I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate you being out there from Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, and, you know, just for me personally, I moved down here about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was from Virginia, and, you know, not exactly north-north.
Wow.
But it's crazy how much of WCW is still an institution down here.
Yeah,
like,
You know,
it's crazy. Like, I went to an NXT show at Center Stage, and I was like, you know, I went back and I was like, wow, they did a lot of stuff here. Like, it was crazy, like, to see right. how much respect they were paying to the brand that was down here that maybe you don't see on a lot of other stuff they do. But it was crazy to see, like, how much the talent seemed psyched up to be wrestling in that arena, or that venue, I should say.
You can get in touch with us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line at 404-741-0929, or you can call us at 404-741-0929. We'll be taking some phone calls later on. But we want to talk a little bit here about WWE Raw, and that's what we want to talk about. I want to keep current with what is going on. And we touched on the angle with Kurt Angle.
I was worried when we got a phone call that it would be, you know, your illegitimate son calling up to tell him about how some night back in 87 on the road, he was a little lonely or something.
Yes.
But Kurt Angle, I guess, got a similar call. About a former member of American Alpha, which was a tag team in NXT. They had a lot of success there. Then they were on SmackDown. They sort of are both Olympians and collegiate wrestlers that turned pro wrestlers. And I guess it turns out that back when he was in college, Kurt Angle had a dalliance, and he's had this son, Jason Jordan, who just happened to get into the same business he did.
Right.
And now is over on Raw because, you know, why not call daddy and get the call over to the big, you know, A show, I guess, on
sure.
Monday night if you can. But it was kind of it had been played up for weeks. You know, it started with some texts that Corey Graves seemed very concerned about. And, you know, he's a big announcer for Raw now, along with Michael Cole and Booker T.
Right.
They sort of hand the little 3-man booth that they do nowadays. And, you know, for weeks it was like, Kurt, what are we going to do about this? And Kurt was like, oh, I don't know. My family's going to disown me. You know, I'm an Olympic gold medalist. Like, this will tarnish my reputation and all this stuff, which seems kind of antiquated to me in this day and age where we're still acting like that about illegitimate children, I guess. But,
right.
You know, a storyline's a storyline. I know you said that they tried to get you to work with Tank Abbott one time.
Right.
But, you know, this is the first time in a while I can remember since, I guess, when Michael Cole used to bray on about The Miz all the time, where they've had, like, an announcer in a feud or involved in a storyline like that.
Sure. Corey Graves is pretty legit, though, you know.
Oh, he's really good.
He does a great job.
He's made a great transition, you know. Unfortunately, I guess he had concussion issues or something, so he had to transition into broadcasting. But he's made a great move over there. And, you know, I'm a huge Kurt Angle fan, so it's been great to have him back in the fold.
Right.
You know, not that his, you know, it's not that I'm overlooking his work in TNA, but certainly there's a difference when, you know, you have Kurt Angle over there and Impact versus back in the WWE and, you know, hearing that music and, you know, the fans chanting "you suck," which I always kind of was annoyed with. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you don't hear it for a while and then suddenly it's okay again, you know?
Sure.
But it was, you know, a lot of times you see these soap opera angles. You remember, what was it, David Flair and Stacey Keibler
and
back
Stacey
in your
Keibler.
Day.
Yeah, and absolutely. So, and David Flair and I guess Kimberly.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, when David went nuts. Like his dad is. Okay.
Oh, he's a character.
Yes.
But
I thought it interesting, and I watched the in-ring
the reveal
they did on Raw. I thought it was kind of funny that Kurt Angle said, "I had this date, okay, and 9 months later, after my last date with this girl, she got pregnant." Well, that was it. That was your last date, and she got pregnant. Okay, so, but you know, if it works, it works. You know, give it a shot. I mean, there's so many things that have been done, Bo. That you got to try something. You really do.
No, and I think, you know, a lot of times some of these, you know, this wasn't one of their longer angles, but it had been going on for a few weeks. And sometimes, you know, the fear is, will this pay off? Like, I remember they did the same thing with who's Vince McMahon's illegitimate son, and then at the end it was Hornswoggle or whatever, and you're like, well, that's cute and all for a joke, but it seems like this is going to be a big deal. And then at the end it kind of petered out. But at least this, I feel like, you know, Jason Jordan's, he's talented. American Alpha probably didn't quite get over the way they wanted to when they moved up for NXT. I mean, they had a tag title run. They took them, I think they took the belts off, Orton and Bray Wyatt or whatever. But, you know, I think it was a good time to break them up. You know, it gets a little fresher. And if it gets Jason Jordan on a path to a singles career, then all the best for him.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and then the other big story on Raw, obviously, is you have Roman Reigns. You know, you've probably gotten familiar with him a little bit.
Yes, I have. It blows me away that people boo him, but go ahead.
Yeah, so then he had a match with Samoa Joe trying to get number one contendership for the Universal title to face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Of course, Roman's had this issue with Braun Strowman going back a few weeks. He slammed him in the ambulance. Mm-hmm. They sent each other to emergency room. They tried to kill each other practically. And so he breaks that all up. And, you know, to your point, people that look like me are going to like Kevin Owens a little more. You know, they're going to be a little more into his shtick because they could sort of identify. You look at Roman Reigns, he's an action figure. I mean, he's a G.I. Joe come to life. I mean.
And so that's why you boo him?
Well, I think that's why some fans boo him. And I think also he seemed kind of preordained from the Shield.
Okay.
Which was, you know, this trio he was in with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Right.
And interestingly, when Seth and Dean had their angle in the ring, and you actually had Seth apologize for breaking up the Shield, which is something I mean, I know wrestlers kind of apologize sometimes, but I don't remember one where he comes out and says, "Oh, I messed up," you know, and then even going so far as to say, "Hey, Dean, if we'll make you feel better, here's a chair. Go ahead and blast me with
right.
it."
Right. All that, yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, everybody loved Roman Reigns in like 2014. Then for some reason, a year later, when they did the exact same thing in the Royal Rumble where he's winning it, all of a sudden that wasn't cool. Now, I think the timing was off. Everybody was really into Daniel Bryan at that point. But at the same time, I think it's just like, you know, Roman's got the look. Sure, he's probably getting, you know, he's getting a little bigger push than most guys would just because the WWE sees so much in him. But he's basically like the next John Cena as far as, you know, the company's concerned. And so I think some of what people project on John Cena is sort of rubbing off on Roman Reigns to an effect.
Well, the fans are, listen, the Rock and Roll Express that I remember in 1985 would be booed today.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No.
The wrestling fans have evolved. I don't know if evolved is the right word. They have changed.
Yeah.
It's hip. It's cool now to like batter guys. And if somebody likes, for instance, John Cena is another guy who's been booed a lot that I never did understand, because every time I've seen a John Cena match, and I haven't seen many.
Yeah.
He's performed very, very well.
No, and that's the thing. And you know, maybe, you know, your standard TV match might not be, you know, might not blow your skirt up too much, but you know, when you get on pay-per-view, when it's a big match, I mean, he's had good matches,
right,
with Seth Rollins, with Braun Strowman. And, you know, Braun, he can go for a huge guy.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up being the man.
I think you're right.
I mean, I really like what I see in him.
It's funny because I kind of have this feeling they've been trying to replace the Big Show for a few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried it with the Great Khali, but he couldn't move really. But now they've got guys like Braun Strowman, like Big Cass, and, you know, it's sort of they can move around a little bit. I think Strowman's got a little more personality than Big Cass does. I mean, we haven't really seen much from him yet, so maybe it's a little too early to tell. But I think definitely you're going to see Braun Strowman be a guy that they can build around for years to come. Out of Samoa Joe, you got Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. You know, obviously Braun broke up the match, so we don't have a current number one contender for the Universal title. With Brock Lesnar being such a legit competitor, just, you know, in reality,
right,
and, you know, in the terms of WWE, I mean, I think which one of those guys do you think would make for a better SummerSlam match?
I think it would be Strowman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think, that's definitely got the freak factor.
Right.
I know, you know, with the network nowadays, they're not as reliant on pay-per-view buys.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think you need it to sell it as much, but if you put Braun Strowman, you know, Brock's going to be looking at, you know, the bottom of his chin. I mean, that's going to be an impressive thing in and of itself.
Exactly.
And I think you can get more out of Joe and Reigns at the same time.
Right.
You know, you can have them be off to the side and still, you know, sort of be on the cusp of that, orbiting the Universal title while not necessarily being in it.
Well, that's a good point. But also the fact that we saw Strowman come out of that ambulance at Great Balls of Fire, and all beat up, but still on his feet. You know, he was hurt, still on his feet, a tough guy, as he legitimately really is.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think it's a good thing to set up that match.
But. No, and I think they've done a really good job of not, like, overcomplicating Braun Strowman. You know, he beat up jobbers for months or whatever,
right.
Or enhancement talent, I should say.
Yeah, you can call them jobbers with me. I understand what you're talking about.
Well, I would just hate to denigrate somebody that's putting their body on the line for
my
entertainment.
I was a jobber as an announcer, so it's a pretty good deal.
You know, but I think you're right. I think Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, I think, is probably your big money match for SummerSlam, at least on the Raw side. Well, there's the cue.
There's the music. It's go home time. You're listening to Pro Wrestling Wednesday with Bo LeBlanc. I'm Tony Schiavone, and we'll be talking about SmackDown, taking your phone calls on our debut show. Remember, you can always listen to Pro Wrestling Wednesday on 92.9 The Game or 92.9thegame.com.